go.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Episode 30-something.
32?
32 or 33?
I think 32 is right.
It's a good sign that we're losing count. Yeah. So, one thing I kind of wanted to kick off with, and this is definitely a good topic for today's show, because it's a tie-in between these two things, this philosophy and weightlifting thing that we try to do. So, we're in a heavy phase of the training cycle, so people are getting ready for meets. We've got a few people getting ready for nationals, a couple local meets trying to get ready to qualify for AO2. And during those heavier weeks, I've noticed a trend, and I think that this is something that people do just more generally with everything, but how do you stay focused on not focusing on what's going wrong in your training and focusing on what's going right? Because there's been a few times in the last couple weeks that I've, you know, seen somebody hit a PR in the snatch and not get the clean and jerk that they wanted for the day. Mm-hmm. And then they are kind of in this headspace where it was a bad training session, but you hit a PR snatch.
Right.
So how do you, why do you think it is that the negative always stands out more than the positive in lots of these situations?
Well, I think we're just kind of, as human beings in general, we're more sensitive to the negative things that happen, and the positive things don't really stay with us. And part of it is because, like, I know there's always something to work on, especially when it comes to weightlifting. And I think people have a tendency to focus on, you know, what's going wrong as opposed to what's going right. It's just because there's a more general sense of pessimism throughout life. And I think it gets worse as you get older. Like, your sense of pessimism kind of increases. And then maybe it turns into realism. And that's, I think, is the real spot where you want to be, is like not being overly optimistic but not being so pessimistic that nothing's ever going to work out for you either. But like in the case of weightlifting, I think that, so let's say, you know, I'm training and then I hit a snatch PR, right? But I move on to clean and jerks and then I don't get that clean and jerk that I wanted to hit too. Like, you have to take it for what it is. And what it is a really good training day, because you hit a PR. Like, any day that you hit a PR is a good day. And you shouldn't let one thing that you didn't get kind of like ruin everything else. And that's, it's almost like a childish mentality to have a little bit. Because if you look at it, it's just like, if you give a child something out of a selection of things, and they, realistically, they should be happy with what you gave them. But then they are focused on what they didn't get. Like, that's, it's kind of like, it's a selfish way of looking at it.
It's a wanting it all kind of thing.
Yeah, and so, like, it's rare that you're going to have a clean and jerk and snatch PR both happen in the same session. Like, it's very rare. Like, one thing goes great and the other thing doesn't go as great. Or you hit close numbers, but you won't quite get there. And I've seen it happen over and over again where people get greedy. Like, instead of finishing where they know that they hit a solid rep and that was the limit of their potential for that day, they'll keep going and they'll just keep trying for more and more and more. It's like this gluttonous, like, feeding frenzy of trying to remake that feeling happen or try to get more results before you're ready to actually produce them.
I mean, it almost seems like that desire to, I need to get another one. Need to get another one. It almost seems like compulsive gambling. Almost,
little bit. Yeah.
You get that rush and you're like, no, I can just one more round, just one more round, just one more round. And I think that's where, you know, we often talk about weightlifting as kind of like an addiction, right? Where, like, you know, you just want to do it and you're thinking about it and you're like, all right, I'm going to get that other kilo. And you can end up kind of banging your head against the wall. And, you know, in the gambling analogy, you lost all your money.
Right.
You know, now your shoulder hurts and you didn't make the lift. So...
Right. Well, it's just like John Rockefeller. I think there's a story about him on his deathbed, and when he was dying, somebody asked him, he's like, you know, if you could have anything, like, what would you want? He's like, just one more dollar. And that's like
that's crazy.
That is crazy to think that way, because like, so, but some of y'all approach weightlifting like that. It's just like, you know, at the end of the day, what would you have wanted out of your session? It's like, oh, just one more PR, just one more kilo. And that same ambition, that same drive that you need to focus to get better is good. But at the same time, if it's to the detriment of everything else, like that's not a great outlook to have.
Well, it's like the dosage makes the poison, right?
Exactly. So like, yeah.
You need to have that drive. And that's why I think this is an interesting topic is, you know, when you don't execute something the way that you want, or something's tight, so your positions are off, and everything's just feeling like just doesn't feel the way that you want it to. The first instinct is you get really mad at yourself. Like, you get really, really frustrated and angry that you can't get it right. And I think, well, one, I think it's just kind of funny if you step back and think that you're angry at your own body. Like, it's a weird place to be in, where you're just, but I've been there where I'm so pissed at my hip flexors for not just letting me stay a little bit more upright.
Right.
You know, it's very bizarre. But I think that feeling is kind of a, you know, there's two sides of it where you need to have a little bit of that. Cause if you don't have that kind of fire of wanting to get it right and wanting to do better and wanting to lift a little heavier, of course you're going to need, you know, that kind of, you know, okay, get it together, let's get this done. But beating yourself up over, you know, something not going the way you want is kind of counterproductive, because if you're, you know, always feeling frustrated or downtrodden, you're going to get burned out. You're not going to want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, there's got to be like a way to find that happy medium where you're always striving, but you're recognizing, you know, where things are going right. And a couple of examples, one kind of practical tip for everybody is keep track of your training total, because there might be a day that you did not hit a PR snatch and you did not hit a PR clean and jerk, but you did PR your total. And I think a lot of times people lose track of, you know, the fact that the total is actually kind of the whole point. It's not how much you can snatch or how much you can clean. It's the combination of the two. So, you know, keep in mind that if, you know, you hit 95% on both lifts in the same day and you've never done that before, that's probably a PR total, and you did hit a PR that day, right, despite not reaching the top end in either the snatch or the clean and jerk. So, you know, if you hit a couple kilos under your PRs on each, but you hit a 3 kilo improvement on your best total, that's a very good day. You know, that's, so having those kind of other metrics to, and just remember that the total is there.
Right.
You and I had a conversation because, you know, you're helping me keep on track with my training. And, you know, I had building up to just over 85% for some clean and jerks. And, you know, so Mundo's watching the list and he's like, those all looked super easy. And I was like, and my initial reaction was just, yeah, but like, I didn't pass the knees exactly. Like, I was a centimeter out of position passing the knees. And it took you really being like, whatever. Why are you even like so fixated on that one tiny little thing that was a little bit out of position? And that was just a good reminder for me, because I think we all kind of struggle with these things where it's just like, oh, that felt heavy today.
Right.
Or, you know, it's like, oh, I just didn't quite get that one thing. But you gloss over the fact that you did 10 good reps and worked up to that set.
Yeah.
And it was legal, and maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was good.
Right.
Well,
it's just like, perfection is the enemy of progress. And I wrote an article about perfection a while back, and I think that there's a little bit of a separation between how much progress you should make and how much progress you should expect. And the difference is, like, you're going to be stopped by whatever your potential is for that day. And this is why it's good to approach it in the way of, like, what are your training totals? What are your training PRs? What are your competition best PRs? So, yeah, you might not be hitting an all-time best, but let's say that day you did hit a training total PR. That's still something to be, you know, happy and celebrated. And I think that losing view of the gestalt, the entirety of the picture, isn't a good outlook. Because you short yourself on the ability to celebrate wins that are there that you're just glossing over. And so, like, in your case, you know, I know that you want to be in specific positions and you want to have them feel a specific way, but sometimes you just have to take the progress for what it is, and that's progress. You've actually made progress. So are you exactly where you want to be, or you want it to feel a specific way? Are you at that point yet? Maybe, maybe not. Some days more than others, yeah. But some days less so, and you just still have to take the fact that you're able to complete things and have them be legal lifts. Like, they would count in competition. Yeah, it's not the most technically pristine, but not every day is going to be like that. So you have to take the wins for what they are. And it goes back to, like, the gambling mentality of, like, if you want to win every single time, you are winning. Like, those 2 cent pots, you technically won. Like, and if you've ever bought a lottery ticket and you've won your money back, you've technically won the lottery, just not the jackpot.
Yeah.
So, if you think about weightlifting, you know, did you win the jackpot and hit an all-time lifetime snatch PR and clean and jerk PR on the same day? No. But did you win because you hit a 1 kilo snatch PR and then got close and still made a new training total or hit a really good training total? Yeah, you're still making progress. So I think that measuring things in the way of, like, this is the only thing that matters is a bad way to do it. And if you started out a painting that way, right? If you started a painting and said every stroke has to be perfect, every stroke has to be exactly the color and the line and the texture that it needs to be on the canvas, you're never going to finish the painting. It's never going to get done.
Well, no, I think that painting analogy is actually really good. And I think that, you know, that perfectionist streak is really common in weightlifters because the technique is so hard. But, you know, we've kind of talked about this before, like, you should always be making improvements on your technique. But if you spend so much time focusing on, okay, was my balance exactly perfect at every step of this? Was everything the same, you know, like the exact positions that you want to be in? But if you only focus on that and negate the, you just have to be stronger or you just have to be faster portion, mm-hmm. you know? So if you, you know, kind of lose sight of the ends by saying, well, if you're just obsessing over minute details,
yeah.
that anybody else would look at it and say, that was a good lift. And you're like, well, but see, I'm like kind of a little bit here. I had like a tiny bit of shoulder movement and like passing the knees for a split second on the pole. If you spend too much time obsessing over that stuff, you're never going to get forward, because the only way to actually improve your technique with heavier weights is getting the weights up and being stronger in those positions. Yeah. And that requires a little bit of compromise there.
Do you think that's a reason that sometimes people Clark lifts is because the weight feels different at a certain point, at a certain percentage, and so they start to do things differently so it doesn't feel right? And so because it doesn't feel right, they just stop. They just give up on the lift. Because, like, there's times when I'm pulling 100% and there's just like, how am I going to get under this? Or you're slightly out of position, but, like, the thing is, like, I'll still try to get under it. Like, there's, even if it's a little off, if it doesn't feel perfect, I'll still try to go for it. And so I don't know if people have that mentality of where, oh, it doesn't feel right, so I should just stop right where I'm at. Like, and they just give up on it prematurely, because you can actually save some lifts. And there's a lot of elite weightlifters that just competed in the European Championships where you see some of their lifts and they're going for even world records, and it's not perfect, but they still make the lift.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has a lot to do with, if you're pulling on a bar and not going under, it's a lot of times I think that it's, if you feel slightly out of position, like your balance is shifting, mm-hmm. That can be a pretty big factor. And then I also think that sometimes it's just that some weights just feel heavy, in those positions. So once you've kind of started approaching the end ranges of your strength, your tendency is to either try to do something different, like, oh, I need to give it some extra pull, and that throws your timing off because you're pulling too long at the top and then you can't get under. Sometimes it makes you just abort the lift where you just say, oh no, it feels kind of bad. But, you know, Klokov talked about this, and then I just listened to an interview with a powerlifter, Dan Green, on Louis Simmons' podcast this week.
Okay.
Every now and then I like to check in with Dan. I've been a fan of Dan Green for a long time. He's a phenomenal lifter. But this is a thing that both him and I've heard Klokov talk about, is intentionally doing lifts in the wrong position.
Hmm.
So an example for Green in powerlifting was that he'll intentionally do deadlifts with a rounded back because he knows that sometimes that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, or there's, you know, because you can have a slightly out of position back but still be locked in and still move it well. And if you're not training positions that might happen, then that's kind of an issue. You know, so Klokov will do, as a weightlifting analogy, you know, snatches with your hips way too high in the start position.
Okay.
So that it's more back and you're fighting to get that bar back to you.
Right.
Or, you know, intentionally letting the bar be too far away. An example of that would be like a no contact snatch. Technically, you're just doing this lift wrong because the bar is too far away from you.
Right.
But if you can still get enough finish and utilize the third pull correctly and get that bar into the right position in that less advantageous, further away from your body, you're going to be able to kind of save those weights. So there, I think there might be some argument to, like, maybe not being in the wrong position, but doing things to challenge the position.
Yeah.
So, like, pause at the knee or, you know, super high block. These sort of things can isolate that section that feels bad. So if you are pulling a lift and as soon as you get to mid-thigh, you're just like, oh, this is so heavy, I don't think I can get under it, spend more time at that position. Get really, really cozy there.
Yeah.
And it should help smooth things out. But yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for, you know, you need to be strong in all the positions that you have the possibility for. And that was, you know, because it's that active mobility where, like, if, you know, the bar is a little bit too far back overhead in the snatch, do you have the flexibility and the strength and the comfort in your positions to make an adjustment
right.
and then stand back up? And, you know, I think that that's the rationale for, you know, if it feels off, do it anyway and fight for the position, because in a competition you might be in that position. And I don't know.
So I don't necessarily disagree with, like, how that could work. What I wonder about is the implementation of it, though. Because, like, let's say, so, for instance, a lot of people, when they come to us from the functional fitness arena, they have a tendency to power everything. And what happens when they get to heavier weights is that they rely on that power technique, because that's what their body resorts to, because that's what they've been doing in those situations. So unlearning all that is a chore for a lot of them, but they get through it. And the thing is they've learned to do it. They've learned to do something that is good at one time, but is not in the overall. And what I mean by that is just, like, let's say, you know, the snatch, they're not making contact ever. It's a great muscle snatch, but it's a terrible snatch.
Yes.
So in the instance of, like, doing things in a bad position, you can mimic positions that aren't ideal, but do it intentionally. And that's where the difference is, like, I can do a no contact muscle snatch, but if I'm doing it as an exercise to create a certain stimulus or train a specific part of the body, that's different than just, that's how I snatch.
Yes.
And so, like, if people can understand those differences, then I think that training methodology would be effective. So, like, if somebody has a problem with that lower back, maybe, like, straight leg deadlifts in the snatch grip off the floor, like, you would never lift like that, but that's something that you could use to train in case something like that close to that position happened, and you can still use the lift. Like, it's still makeable, but because you're strong.
And that's kind of the way, you know, I think that's a good argument for with people that are just starting out, or if you're rebuilding a technique of a CrossFitter that's come to you and kind of just has this tendency to power everything. Mm-hmm. You have to take a pretty big step back and get the fundamentals down really well before introducing those sort of variations. So, you know, for guys on our national level, I might have them do power snatches with the hips starting too high so that they have more focus on their back and have to really use that for the lift. But if it's your third month there, we're not going to do any of those sort of things because you haven't gotten good enough at the basics yet, you know? So I think adding in some of those kind of like, this is not how you would actually do this, but here's an exercise that'll help emphasize it. And I think one of the best examples of that is snatch high pulls, mm-hmm. where if the first thing that you teach somebody is how to do a high pull, they're probably going to pull too long at the top and use their arms too much, elevating the bar.
Right.
So I like to wait to use the high pull exercise until people are proficient enough pulling under that they understand that the snatch high pull is an exaggeration of the position and is not the same position.
Right.
And so many accessory lifts are like that. An RDL is exaggerating being over the bar. That's not how far over the bar you'll actually be.
Right.
It's an exaggerated position. Another common one that you see is like deadlifts to the power position, mm-hmm. where people will stand up and be over the bar really far at the hips.
Still, yeah.
I think people misinterpret those things when they see lifters do that on the internet. Like when you see Klokov do a deadlift to where he's at the hip and he's over the bar drastically and then does a snatch from there, that's intentionally being out of position. That's exaggerating a portion of the lift.
Right.
But it's not how the actual lift is supposed to be performed. So I think that it's really important when you're doing your accessory work or you're doing your variations to understand the why behind you're doing it. So, you know, if you've got a coach and you're doing high pulls, but you don't really understand what the purpose is, always ask questions. Always say, well, why am I doing this? Right. And what am I thinking about? Because if you're doing high pulls and you're thinking, all right, once the bar's at the top, that's when I drop. You could look like you're doing the exercise very well, but you're thinking about it in such a wrong way that when you get back to the snatch, you're just going to have some gnarly bad habits built up out of that.
Right.
But if you understand that I'm emphasizing what the arms do, but when I snatch, this happens on the way down, you actually get the transference of that exercise a little bit better. So I think it's just really important to know why you're doing those things and know what those accessory positions are for. Because if you try to clean like an RDL, this is going to be super hard. Like it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that RDLs are bad. It's just not how you clean.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. So like it just goes back to those types of lifts are used to supplement and augment specific areas of a lift that you might not be strong in, or they're supplementing something to help you build more strength in a specific part of the lift, but they're not the lift themselves. So like when people come into training and they look at it as, well, I didn't PR everything, so it wasn't a good day. Come on, guys. You gotta take things for what they are, and that is you won. Any PR that you get is a good day. Like, how can you really argue with that? Like, you made progress. Like, and if you're looking for, oh, well, I didn't hit 10 kilos over my last time I PR'd. Well, yeah, you're not a beginner anymore, number one. And number two is like, your progress is going to get incremental as time goes on, because you're going to catch up to your capability and strength and technique. They're all going to diverge or converge at a specific point, and it's going to get harder to make progress. But the progress that you do make, you should celebrate and not get so down on yourselves, because like that, every time that you pick up the barbell and you do something better, you hit it in a lift in a better position, or you hit multiple reps for the same percentage that, you know, was a PR last time, then that's, I mean, those are milestones. Those are things that you're doing correctly and you're getting better at. And even if, like, let's say 90% is programmed and you have to do it for three and you hit all three with no misses, like that's progress. That's a PR. Like, that's, to me, that's amazing. If you can hit 90% that consistently, that's like, I don't know how much more you can ask for. Like,
yeah, well,
you didn't miss any lifts.
And that's kind of another way that I like to think about progress too, is, so say your max snatch is 60 kilos. But you hit that and you haven't really gotten past that, but you've gotten substantially more consistent hitting reps at 55, 56, 57, and 58. Think about how many times you've made a lift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if your PR is that 60 kilos, but you've only made 55 three or four times, by the time you've made 55 20 times, it's going to be much easier to snatch 62.
That's true.
So like, if you know you're falling short of your PR, sometimes if you take back and you're like, well, I didn't hit a PR today, but I did snatch 58 for the third time ever, that's good.
Yeah.
You've got to be good at 58 in order to do 60 in a competition.
That's true.
So like, you can kind of keep track of, like, it's like, well, that was maybe a little shaky, but yeah, how many of those have you done? How many lifts at that weight have you done in the last few months? Is that like the second time you've ever hit that weight? Or are you now getting to where you're hitting that weight every week and it's much more consistent?
Yeah,
so like, exactly. You know, measuring things in that way.
Well, just for don't, sure. Don't rain cloud your sessions. And what I mean by that is just like, if you go outside and it's a beautiful day and it's nice and sunny, but you see one cloud in the sky and you're like, well, it's not really a perfectly sunny day. Like, come on. That's the equivalent of what you're doing, is if you hit a PR, it's a sunny day. Just enjoy it. And don't think about the little rain cloud that's in the corner of the sky that, you know, didn't go according to the plan or to the picture, you know. So like, you gotta enjoy it for what it is. You hit a PR, you made progress, you hit percentages that you haven't been able to hit in the past, or no misses leading up to a heavy single. Like, that's impressive. That's progress. Like, you got to take those as wins.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another kind of thing with kind of training mentality is putting the prior exercise or the prior rep entirely behind you.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to go anywhere. You can't do anything to change that. But if you had a bad clean and jerk, so say you're doing snatch, clean and jerk, and front squat. You hit snatch, you do pretty good, you do clean and jerk, it feels off, you're tired, you're slow, whatever happens. But then you stay pissed and bummed out for your front squat session.
Yeah.
Your front squat session just got twice as hard. Put the last one behind
That's
you
true.
And stay focused on the task at hand. Because it's really easy to be like, I was unsatisfied with that. And then you're just bummed out while you're front squatting. And if you're setting up for a front squat, but you're still steaming about the last clean and jerk that you missed, guess what you're not doing? Focusing on your front squat.
That's true.
So like, I think it's hard because you need, like we said, you need that emotional reaction. You need to want it.
Yeah.
But learning to properly use that kind of drive.
Yeah.
And you know, if you need it for that next rep, like, all right, I know I can make this. I'm going to do it again. And you come in and you hit it, maybe you miss again, but putting that out of your mind as you move to the next exercise is always going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, and that's definitely the case, because like, there's nothing you can do about it. You have no control over that lift once it's already done. Like, that's all you can do is accept it for what it was, either a make or a miss, and then learn from it if it was a miss, and then move on from it if it's a make, you know. So, and the thing is, like, we talked about something philosophically along these lines, but like, we talked about, are you the same person that you were yesterday?
Yeah.
Or are you the same person you were 5 years ago? So let's take that to a weightlifting portion and say, are you the same lifter you were yesterday? Are you the same lifter you were a year ago? And if we can say from a philosophical standpoint that you change throughout your entire life, the way you believe, the things that you do, even your biology changes, your body's not the same. Every 7 years, your whole bone structure is remade. And like, the cells in your body are constantly regenerating. So are you really the same person in the weightlifting sense as well? Because when you wake up, you might be sore from the day before. You might have some, you know, tight areas and some stress throughout the day that affects the way you're going to perform today. So you're not really the same lifter you were yesterday. There's some continuity because all that skill, all that practice, all those weights are an accumulation of who you are today. But are you exactly who you were yesterday or on your best day today? Maybe, maybe not. So you got to take each day for what it is too. Like, you've got stress, your job, you've got different things going on. Maybe you ate enough, maybe you didn't. Like, these are all factors that contribute to how well you might or might not perform.
Yeah, and I mean, it sort of depends on how you're doing your peaking program, but when we get ready for meets, it's usually the last 3 weeks or so before we taper down are pretty heavy. Usually we'll have kind of a heavy clean and jerk and a light snatch, a heavy snatch and a light clean and jerk, and then heavy on both,
right,
as our kind of three primary training days. And what I always try to get people to remember is that if it's week three and it's right before a taper and you just barely missed a PR on week three, you have to remember that the fatigue from maxing your squat on Monday and doing tons of heavy lifts throughout the week and for the last 2 weeks before that, that fatigue accumulates.
Right.
So if you're just narrowly missing a PR at the most fatigued point in your training or getting a small PR, by the time that you're fresh, if you're able to make that lift tired, and just understanding that even if you wake up and you feel pretty good, if you've done that kind of training for the last 2 weeks, you are tired whether you feel like you're tired or not.
Yeah.
You're beat down, right? And then when you come into that taper and you finally fully recover for the first time in a month, those weights are suddenly a lot easier.
Right.
As long as, you know, and that's when, you know, it's your body is in the right place to do it. And if you have the correct mentality where you're not still pissed about what happened last weekend, you're going to have a much better day. So keeping in mind that, you know, fatigue is cumulative. So like, who you were last weekend, you've done five more heavy clean and jerks than you did last weekend. So your legs are not going to be as fresh as they were.
Yeah.
And not beating yourself up, because it's so easy to get mad about, you know, oh, it wasn't perfect, or,
yeah,
you know, like, back to the example from my training on Saturday, like, I hit all the weights that I was supposed to hit, but I was like, ah, I felt kind of slow.
With no misses.
No misses, felt really, but just felt a little slow, and it's like, well, I did have to do a 3-rep max deadlift 2 days before that. So of course I'm going to be slow. Yeah. Of course it's going to be fatigued.
Right.
But it takes like taking a step back and being like, okay, well, why am I in this position? And just recognizing that, you know, the fatigue is going to build up, and that's what's supposed to happen, because without a buildup in fatigue and a buildup of stress on the body, you're not going to make the adaptation. So you have to kind of push yourself to that point. That things are feeling really bad. Another metaphor that I really like for this is, as far as the perfection goes, is, do you know what I mean when I say Plato's World of Forms?
Mm-mm.
So Plato's philosophy, he was kind of trying to figure out why things have a category. So no two dogs look the same, but you can say that those are both dogs.
Right.
And no trees look the same, but you can tell that that's a tree, and that's a tree, and that's a bush, which is kind of like a tree.
Okay.
But, so what he's saying is that he had kind of a true world theory, where he said there's another realm. And in this other realm, there are, it's the allegory of the cave, right? Where, like, if you're in a cave and all you see is shadows on the wall, you can get a gist for what those objects are. But when you see the real world, you're like, oh, that's what it is.
Right.
He had a theory that everything that we have in this world is an imperfect version of something that exists in the world of forms. And before we come into existence, we lived in the world of forms. So we recognize that's kind of a mirrored shadow of a tree.
Okay.
But so is that. But neither of them are the perfect tree. The perfect tree exists in the world of forms.
Right.
I think that has a lot to do with technique as well. That every snatch is an approximation or a shadow of the perfect lift, but the perfect lift doesn't exist in the world. The perfect lift is theoretical.
Right. Oh,
and that's everything is just a reflection of the perfect snatch, but the perfect snatch itself doesn't exist here. Everybody, no matter how good they are, there might be something that you wouldn't consider textbook or perfect. And if you're constantly trying to chase something, that perfect snatch doesn't really exist. It's, you know, you're trying to get close to it, and you can recognize all of these different movements as snatches.
Right.
But the essence of the snatch is not something that's achievable in our reality. So I think that that kind of metaphor of, you know, there is... you know, a perfect, there's an ideal thing that exists, but nothing in the world is the ideal. Right. Everything's got, you know, maybe the tree has a weird, you know, cluster of bark or, you know, something like that. You know, it's not perfect, but you can recognize what it is. And I think that that's kind of the way weightlifting technique is that, you know, everybody's got an idea of what their squat's supposed to look like, but what the ideal squat is and what your squat is are going to be different.
that's a really fantastic analogy. I'm on board with that. Like, I think that's very accurate as far as like how we view technique and how we teach it to other people. Like we don't know exactly what a perfect snatch looks like, but we have an idea of what it shouldn't look like. And we try to get closer to the idea of, you know, what a perfect snatch would look like, even though we'll fall short of it.
Exactly.
Like, so like the word sin, right, is a derivative. It's like a derivative of missing the mark.
Okay.
To miss the mark is means to sin. So, like, in the case of our fall from grace or whatever, like that's we missed the mark of perfection. So, in terms of weightlifting, like, it's never going to be perfect. There's no perfect lift. So, we're constantly missing the mark, but we're trying to get as close as possible to it every single time. But it's just the process. It's just something that we have to accept that it's never going to be perfect. But we can strive for progress, and we can strive for advancement and mastery. And if somebody claims to have mastered the snatch, let's take a look at their credentials and get them a guru jacket or something. I don't know.
Is that a leather jacket? What is a guru jacket?
A guru jacket is one of those like shawls or something. I don't
know.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
Like a patch. We'll get them a patch or something, a weightlifting patch.
Yeah.
So if you mastered the snatch and the clean and jerk.
Yeah. You can get a chest tattoo that says expert.
Expert. Yeah.
But yeah, I think I like that way of looking at it because it helps you, not beat yourself up because something's going a little bit off. And then, you know, just if you're struggling with positions, it's in large part that your anatomy might not, like, your snatch might just look, your bottom position is always going to look different than mine.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're built very differently. You know, it's gonna everyone's gonna have that limiting factor where if somebody's extra mobile and it's really easy for them to get into the deep squat, yeah, it's easier for them to get into that position, but it's harder for them to stabilize. You know, it's if you're real loose, it's gonna be harder to get stronger. But if you're real tight, it's gonna be harder to get low.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Alan about this because he and I kind of have some similar mobility struggles that we're working through. And he's like, yeah, I just wish that I was loose enough. I was like, well, but if you were as loose as Riley, you wouldn't front squat 200 kilos. You know, that tightness, sure. You know, it is a strength. You know, everybody, you just have to be able to adjust what you're doing to suit who you are. And that's why I don't think any two people are going to lift exactly the same. I really don't try to get everybody into the same positions. I try to get people into the position that'll best suit where they're at and then improve the areas that they need to work on and adjust those things as we go.
Yeah.
But there's you know, there's no two people in our gym, I think, that have an identical start position.
Right.
Just because everybody's arms and legs are different. Everybody's level of mobility is going to be different.
And I think that people vary in intensity as well and aggressiveness.
Absolutely.
Not just like in their lifts, but personality-wise. And I think that carries over into weightlifting as well because you can tell when people are timid, they approach the barbell the same way. They're timid in their execution of the lift. But that's not always the case. I've seen people that are somewhat timid, but they can still execute with ferocity. And so, like, it's just a matter of, like, how they transfer their emotions, thoughts, and focus into the barbell as well. Not just their physical proportions make up who they are as a lifter, but, like, the way they approach the barbell, the amount of ferocity and the amount of, like, intention they put into how they lift. That all crosses over as well because some of our lifters, it looks like they're being lazy, but they really are giving it a good effort. But when you look at another lifter and the amount of like ferocity that they pick the barbell up and that they place the barbell into the positions with, like if we have one boy that lifts the same amount as another, but their techniques are varyingly different because one executes with a certain amount of intensity and the other one like is just as strong, but has a different like approach to it, a different way of executing it, and those all play into how the lifter performs as well.
Well, yeah, it's like, do you need leg slaps and a couple of grunts, or do you need to take three deep breaths and move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think because there are some people that basically all they have going for them is intensity.
Right.
Like you see some people that they will try to go under stuff that they have no business even trying to lift.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have people that are capable of much more, but they're a little hesitant. So that hesitation before you pull under the clean, or that hesitation in the dip of the jerk, can kind of start showing up there. But you gotta straddle the line, because right. It's you've got to be calm and collected enough to be precise and have a good quality of movement, but you also have to be aggressive enough to know that you just got to move that weight.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see people kind of change that approach. But how do you think, you know, what are some things that you think people can do if they are that type that just when it gets a little heavier, they get a little less aggressive because they're a little apprehensive about it? I think that that's something you can train yourself to do, and you're never going to be the rah-rah insane person that just like flings themselves
punching holes in the drywall.
Yeah, you know, that's not going to be everybody, but I think everybody can learn how to be aggressive with their movements.
Right.
I think one of the ways to do that is when you do your, like, the idea of no lifts off, right? So how hard are you hitting 60%? Are you just pulling it enough and just kind of like, I got it up, and I got it here, and all right, we kind of put it in the right place. Or are you trying to do 60 as hard as you can? And I think how you do your warm-up weights dictates how you'll do your heavier ones. So I'm a big fan of really trying to get people to be as deliberate and aggressive with the bar as they are with 40%, as they are with 60, as they are with 80. And I think that if you take that mindset of every single rep that you do this workout matters just as much as the heaviest one. So it's not, I coasted my warm up and got to my work sets and then tried to focus.
Right.
It's, oh, no. I was deliberate and precise with the bar. I got my 50% done well. I got my 60% done well. I got my 70, and then I did my doubles at 80. And I think if you can learn to be more aggressive with your lighter weights, then it'll carry over to those heavier ones. And that's not to say that, I don't want people to misinterpret that I think you need to pull as hard on 40% as you do 90.
Right.
Because then you're just going to muscle clean everything in your warm-up.
Or it's just going to be too wild. Like, it's going to be like manhandling it.
But using that kind of controlled aggression where maybe you're mediating how hard you're pulling so that you can be more aggressive in your turnover, so that you're turning over light weights. And, you know, the idea of kind of try to pull everything to the same height that your 90% is going to go. So if all of your warm-ups, you spend a lot of time at the top and pull the bar, you know, up to sternum height before you turn over the clean, once you stop being able to pull that bar to sternum height, you're thrown off. So trying to use the same timing and lift the bar to the same height every time,
mm-hmm.
I think is a pretty valuable skill to have. And then save those high catches for when you're doing the power snatches and the power cleans to really work on the speed there. But I think when you're warming up, especially for heavy singles or heavy lifts, like, try to lift the bar to the same place every time. Like, every jerk you do from the bar up should only get to eye level before you descend. And you shouldn't have those extra reps where you're just pushing up really high and then just kind of plopping into position. Mm-hmm. Because that timing really, really matters at the heavier weights. But if you neglect it in all of the warm-ups, then your timing is going to be off when you get to the heavier ones. And I think that just really staying focused in your lighter work and not, like, if it says 65% for 5 sets of 3 in the first week of the program, that doesn't mean it's an easy workout.
Right.
That means that this is a time to focus and really get dialed in those things. Or I think a lot of times people think of, like, you know, if we have 3 heavy days of full lifting and powers on the days between, people think of the powers as like a rest day where they don't have to work as hard.
Yeah.
It's like, no. The power day is when you're working on speed and precision, and it's easier because you don't have to squat it, but the intensity and the aggression that you have to approach those lifts with and the intent that you have to have, I think, it's intent. It's intent. What are you trying to do with that bar, and are you doing it as perfectly and aggressively as you can? And just treating all of those reps like they matter, I think can help with the aggression.
I think that goes with, like, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you treat the lifts that aren't your working sets or the sets that you're using to build up to a working weight or a heavy single, if you treat those like they don't matter, then why is the last lift going to matter? Like, why is that one at the top end the only one that makes a difference? Because if you follow the mentality of how you do anything is how you do everything, if you've been unfocused and just going through the motions throughout the entire warm-up session, and then you get to your working weights, like, why dial up the intensity, like, at that point? So then you need all that extra, you know, grunting and slapping and things like that to kind of motivate yourself, to kind of amp yourself up. But in reality, you should have been already reaching like a flow state from the beginning of your warm-up to where you're hitting your working weights. And I think that for me it's a matter of, like, trying to get into that flow where, like, every single rep is supposed to be executed with the same intensity, the same level of effort, right? Just applied in different amounts. So if you're doing the bar, obviously you're not going to snatch it like you're doing 100 kilos because the amount of effort and intensity is different, but the execution of it is the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because like you're still have the same focus, the same amount of dialed in, you know, execution. It's just the amount of effort that you apply to the barbell and the intensity that you apply to it is different with the amount of weight. So like the technique doesn't change, just how much force that you apply to the barbell does.
And that's why I've been really trying to get people to emphasize their barbell warm-ups a little bit more. Because how many times have you seen somebody maybe do 5 snatches with an empty bar, but how many of those could they have held at the bottom and just been comfortable and stable with? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've all seen people where they're better at lifting 50 kilos than the bar. And that's not a measure of, you know, their ability. It's just the measure of the focus. Because if you can lift 50 kilos really well, of course you can lift the bar really well. You just have to really be focused and make that your intent. So how you're doing your barbell warm-up, like, can you do those snatches but hold them all at the bottom, mm-hmm. and be comfortable there and spend a lot of time in the positions that you're trying to get into later on in your workout? Because if you gloss over those things and ramp up too quickly, now you're at 80%, but you've only done 5 overhead squats in your warm-up. So is that position really warmed up?
Yeah.
With the aggression and the thigh slapping, though, I want to address the other side of that, which is if you're doing that at 70%, there's something wrong.
Okay.
Like, you shouldn't have to get psyched up to lift that weight.
Right.
And this was the thing that they talked about in the multi-year system of training is, yeah, what's the heaviest weight you can lift without significant emotional arousal? Like, if you're having to get psyched up and like give yourself a pep talk and like slam those legs to make a 75% lift, you're overdoing it because you're not saving that for when it counts. Because it's good to have that kind of like getting amped up.
Yeah.
But you want it to be like a superpower that you tap into and not your default approach for all of your warm-ups, you know? So if you're that guy that is always screaming and getting hyped up, that's fine, but you should also be trying to say, can I just calmly walk up and snatch this 80% without any fuss, without any psych up? Can I just walk up, get set, take a deep breath, and go?
Yeah.
Because I think what a lot of this all comes down to is that emotional control, where whether it's putting the last lift behind you and focusing on the task at hand, or being calm in your approach, or learning how to selectively use that increased kind of hyped up aggression, is all part of the training, where you need to be able to do both. You know, you should be able to, I think, hit 90% without much fuss. I think that should be a weight that you're very comfortable with. Because if your technique is sound, there's no reason that that needs to be like an all-out grinder or grunting lift.
Yeah.
You know, a 90% should be something that you can kind of walk up, take a deep breath, and hit really well, and then save that psych up and save that kind of extra emotional energy for when you're going for a PR.
Yeah.
And they talk about this a lot. I think this happens a lot more in powerlifting just because the meets are longer. But when you come out of the gate and you're getting psyched up for every squat, but you still have the rest of the meet to do, you're going to be so tired at the end. And if you're able to kind of lift with just enough aggression to get it done, but not any more than you need. Because I think we've also seen people, you know, when they're going for squats, they get so psyched up that they change things when they're trying to hit the PR.
Right, yeah.
Instead of just trying to make it look effortless, you know? Like, I think good lifting, like, for me, perfect lifting looks like that guy doesn't even care that he did that.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you watch the going back to Europeans, Lasha Talakatsi's 218, 260, he kind of just nothing did. He was just like, yep, this is a heavy weight. Yeah. Cool. All right, see you later. And I really admire that. I really like seeing that.
That kind of approach aligns with, like, what my basketball coach used to tell us in high school. Because, like, you know how sometimes, like, people will shoot a three-pointer and they'll leave their hand up kind of, like, showboating a little bit. And it's just, like, or they'll celebrate, like, really over exaggeratedly. And coach would get mad at us and he'd be like, act like you scored a point before. And it's just like, okay, well, but that's kind of how, like, I approach the barbell now. It's just like, I act like I've made this lift before. Like, I don't have to get psyched up. I remember I was doing that 105 hang clean from above and below the knee. And I was just sitting there, and I guess I must have been spaced out, because Robin asked me, she's like, what you thinking about? And I was like, my gum's getting hard. But I wasn't thinking about lifting at all. It wasn't about the lift. I was just like, my gum is getting hard. And so, but then I went and I did that lift. But, like, that's kind of how I approach it, is, like, I remember my coach telling me, will I get psyched up about hitting a PR? Yes. Like, and I get excited if I hit a new PR, but I also have that side of me that's just like, act like you've done it before, or act like you know you could have done it, and you did. And so, like, that kind of carries over into my lifting. But, like, I think a lot of the time, if you have to hype yourself up at, like, 70%, you have to start slapping your butt and smacking yourself with chalk and everything else, then you're using that at a point where it shouldn't be necessary yet. And like you said, you know, the professionals, the people that are at the elite status, they're not getting super psyched up in the warm-up room on their warm-up lifts. They usually wait until they're out on the platform and you hear them let go of a grunt, or, you know, you see them give that max effort, and they're saving it for that specific point in time. So I think that's a pretty much good, you know, like, coverage of what we wanted to talk about today, right?
Yeah, no, I think we covered a wide range of things, and you know, so just focusing on not beating yourself up and doing those little things with the bar to warm up. And you know, there's so many of these little tiny things that you can do that make a lot of difference, and arguably as much difference as what program you're doing.
Yeah. And PRs aren't silver linings in your bad training session. PRs are the training session. And the little things that didn't go your way are just small clouds that you shouldn't even be worried about. Absolutely. On a sunny day. All right. Anything else, Grayson?
Please keep the ratings and reviews coming in on iTunes and Stitcher. That helps us out a lot. And until next week, guys, happy lifting.
All right, y'all. Take care.